All right, guys, we're doing it. Week 9, we're walking through the book of Acts. Last week, we wrapped up chapter 8, and that means this morning we're starting in chapter 9. That's how we roll this summer as we walk through the whole book. And so I'm going to be in Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 1. We're going to read 20 or so verses together. Also would ask that you would grab a bulletin. If you didn't get one of these when you came in, we have a digital version. You can scan the QR code on the screen. We do want you to take notes. We think primary reason we come to church is to learn about God, to hear from God, and so we think one of the best ways we do that is taking notes. You might also notice in the notes that every single week we give you questions for discussion. Whoever you came to church with, man, go home. Work through those questions at some point during the week. Work through them on your own. Do them in your small group. Call a friend. It's worth your time. The more you think about God, the more you spend time thinking about His Word, the more likely you are to see change in your life, okay? I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to jump into the Word together. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather. Holy Spirit, every week want to recognize your role in our life, that Jesus said Himself, it was better that He go away so that you could come. What would be better than Jesus with us is Jesus living in us through you, Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and take your place, to fill our pulpit, fill our minds and our hearts, and to teach us about the power of transformation that can come only through faith in Jesus. Lord, we love you. It's in your name. We pray these things. Amen, amen, amen. Guys, we are in Acts chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 1. 22 verses we're going to go through together, okay? So if you got your Bibles, open them up. Read along with me. It says this, it says, now Saul was still, man, I got some VBS hick left in me. Did y'all know I had a little character in VBS, okay? And I was Jungle Jack the Fern Finder, and I talked with, my name's Jungle Jack the Fern Finder, so glad that you're here, and I just said, Saul, it's fine, we're good, here we go. Cut that out, all right, live stream, we're going to edit that, it's fine, here we go. Verse 1, chapter 9. Now Saul was still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and he requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any men or women who belong to the way, they're not called Christians yet. They will get the name Christians eventually. Right now they're called part of the way. These are people that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So if they found anybody that belonged to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he traveled and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul said. I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting, he replied. But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they took him by the hand, and they led him into Damascus. He was unable to see for 3 days, and he didn't eat or drink. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. Here I am, Lord, he replied. Get up and go to the street called Straight, the Lord said to him, to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard from many people about this man and how much he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority here from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to the Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Ananias went. He entered the house, he placed his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road that you were traveling has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. At once something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. Immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. All who heard him were astounded and said, isn't this the man in Jerusalem who was causing havoc for those who called on his name? And he came here for the purpose of taking them as prisoners to the chief priests. But Saul grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Really, really cool story.
Really, really cool story. And so, man, last week we left off and God had called Philip out to that desert road, right? There were two Gazas. He sent him to the one that was in ruins, called him out to a desert road. Didn't make sense because he had a booming ministry. But that simple act of obedience led to an entire nation, right? I mean, we talked about the church that boomed there eventually in Ethiopia. And so this morning, another story of transformation, but surprise, it's the guy we've been talking about the whole time. It's this guy, Saul, who has been terrorizing the church, who's been tearing it apart like a vicious animal. And now he himself is going to experience transformation, and he will go from the greatest persecutor of the church to its greatest proclaimer, all right? Pretty powerful story. So let's dig in. Three things I want to share with you this morning, guys. Here is the first. First and foremost, I want you to simply know that God's grace is enough. God's grace is enough. Amen? Listen, I don't know who you think Saul is at this moment, but I can tell you that Ananias knows who he is. Saul at this point is a religious zealot that is bent, he's bent on literally persecuting anyone that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Like, that is his mission in life. In today's terms, you might call him even a terrorist or a religious terrorist. Back in 2015, some of the adults in the room, you remember some of the images that were coming out on CNN of ISIS lining up 21 Christian men and executing them publicly. They videoed the whole thing. When those images come to your mind, you think, how could somebody be like that? That's who Saul is. Y'all, that is 100% who Saul is. That's what he's doing. Y'all, we've talked about, he's persecuting. He's literally going, trying to arrest. He wants to charge them with blasphemy. He wants to put them to death. That is who Saul is. And Ananias knows that's who Saul is. And so when God says to Ananias, Ananias, hey, I want you to go in. I want you to go into the city to Damascus, to Straight Street. And there's a man there named Saul of Tarsus. Ananias knows exactly who he's talking about. And so Ananias, look at this. This is verse 13 and 14. Ananias answers, "I've heard from many people about this man. I've heard how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem." Ananias is going, "I know exactly who you're talking about. God, are you sure? Are you sure this is the, I don't know, Lord." And the Lord responds to me in verse 15, "Go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles and kings and Israelites." God is saying, "Ananias, you go because I've picked him. I know that you didn't, but I've picked him," right? And church, I would ask, well, what is that a picture of? God who chooses somebody that has been openly trying to tear apart this new work of his in the church. What is that a picture of? Is that a picture of God's love, some might say? I mean, love covers a multitude of sins. Surely it's that. But I would press further. I think it's more than just God being loving. I believe this is a picture of grace, right? That Saul's story, just like our story, coming to know the Lord, is all a picture of grace. God's love in action towards someone who is completely undeserving. And listen, this grace will be a marker for now we're going to call him Paul. Can we switch? We'll go back and forth, okay? For Paul's entire life, he gets a new name, okay? It'll be a marker for his whole life. In fact, later in his ministry, he will have an affliction that he will plead with the Lord about on three occasions. Say, "Lord, please remove this." And scholars kind of differ on what it was. They believe it's a physical affliction. Some think it is linked to this very event, that he loses his eyesight. Later in his writings, you'll see, "I wrote it in my own large hand," because that's the only way he could see. So some think it's attached to this event, losing his eyesight. Others think it's because of malaria that had set in, that he was never cured by. No matter what, we know that he's so greatly afflicted by this ailment that he pleads with God on multiple occasions, "God, please heal me. God, please remove this." And listen to the Lord's response to him. This is 2 Corinthians 12:9. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness," right? This is a picture, guys, of this persecutor who's dead set on putting Christians to death. And God says, "Yeah, that guy's going to be my man." This is a portrait of grace, right? Saul wasn't saved because of his knowledge. He was very knowledgeable. That's not why he was saved. Saul wasn't saved because of his zeal. His zeal actually got him into trouble. Saul wasn't saved because of his righteous acts. He's a murderer at this point. Saul was saved, just like we are, by the grace of God. Amen? Amen? He is saved because God's grace is enough. So I want to do something. I know you're taking notes. I know you got your Bibles out. You don't have to physically lean in, okay? I'm not calling anybody out. No, you don't have to physically lean in, but I just want full attention for a moment. Phones down, because I just want to say some things over you real quick. I don't know how you walked in here. I don't know what you're feeling about yourself, but I want to say these things over you very, very quickly. First and foremost, I want you to know that God's grace is greater than any sin you have ever committed. Okay? God's grace is greater than any single mistake you have or will ever make. God's grace is greater than any hurt you've ever had. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've been going through, and I don't know how you currently feel about yourself, but I know many of us walk into houses of worship and we feel pretty terrible about who we are. Because we know the real us. We do pretty good at hiding the real us, but we know the real us. And a lot of times we just feel like there's no way God could love us. And I'm here to tell you, this story is proof. God's grace is enough for you, okay? All right, that's where we start. It matters. It matters. So that's the first thing. God's grace is enough. Second lesson, God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. Some of y'all have been praying about some stuff, and you're like, I don't want to hear this point. Just wait, all right? God's timing is perfect. So a few weeks ago, we went back, and we fast-forwarded to kind of the end of the Gospel of Luke, where Paul is talking about his former life. And listen to what he said about what he was doing. This is Acts 26:11. He says, in all the synagogues, I often punished them. He's talking about people that put their faith in Jesus. And I tried to make them blaspheme. Since I was terribly enraged at them, I pursued them even to foreign cities. Okay? So if he gets them, if they say something wrong, he's like, blasphemy, and the penalty for blasphemy is death, okay? So Paul literally is searching out people, even going to foreign cities, trying to put Christians to death, even though they're not called Christians yet. That's what's going on. And that's what's going on in our text, right? He has letters to go to Damascus, to enter the synagogues, to look for anybody that says they believe in Jesus so that he might arrest them, accuse them of blasphemy, and have them, it says, both men and women put to death. That is what's going on in the story. And there, as he approaches, something amazing happens, right? This light comes down from heaven. Now, how close to the city was he? Well, the text says, verse 3, as he traveled, he was nearing Damascus. Now the word has some imagery with it. The word in Greek, it literally means to join one thing to another. So how close was Paul? Saul, I'm going to tell you, he was in striking distance, right? I mean, so much so that he's blinded, and it says they just take him by hand and they lead him into the city. Like, what I'm saying is danger was at the door. John Bassanio was a great former pastor of Houston's First Baptist Church, led it from downtown to, I mean, it's killing it still today. And I had the pleasure of meeting him once, and he's just a good dude. In regards to this passage, he asked this question. He says, I wonder if they ever knew. The Damascus believers. He says, did they ever know how close a call death paid them on that day? Did they ever know? Y'all, I mean, death was at the door. Death was at the gate. And then there, in that moment, at just the right time, Jesus intervenes. This flash from heaven, he speaks to Saul. Saul is saved in that moment. Did they ever know? I mean, this is like Abraham, and I mean, the knife is raised. I mean, it's at death's door, and in that moment, Saul is saved, yes, but so are they. Listen to me, this matters. God's timing is always perfect. He's never late. And for those of you that are praying, he's usually never early either. Sorry.
He's going to show up at the right time. He still saves. He still intervenes. And his timing is always perfect. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're feeling. Some of you have been praying for a while. God, would you change this? God, would you do this? Listen, I believe 100% God will show up. But he's not going to show up in your time. Right? Don't lose faith because God is not giving you the answer that you want right now because you want comfort. Trust that God and his will be done at the right moment, at the right time, so that we can rest, okay? So that matters. His timing's perfect. Last thing. I tell you this morning that God can turn dangerous and destructive roads into places of deliverance. Okay? God can turn dangerous and destructive roads into places of deliverance. There is no more dangerous road on this day in human history than the road to Damascus. All right? I mean, this dude is coming. He is coming for the saints. He is, he's about to throw them all in prison. Saul is dead set on destruction. And yet here it's on this very path, on this path where he is dead set on destruction, that the Lord brings deliverance, right? Okay, so I want to speak to you again. That's exactly where some of you are. I love you. I don't know why you came through the doors, but some of you are on a path to destruction. You are. And for different reasons. Sometimes we're on a path to destruction because at some point we've believed the lie that we're a complete mess up, that we could never change, that God could never use. What I'm saying is, at some point we have honestly believed that we're just junk. And we look in the mirror and that's what we see. And because we feel that way about ourselves and we think that God could never love us, we just try to cope. And when we cope, we're just self-medicating over the hurt, and we're just furthering the spiral, and we're stuck on this road, on this destructive path, and we think we deserve it. We've convinced ourselves we deserve it. So we're just there. For others, that's not your story. Your story is you're on a destructive path too, but you don't see it that way. You think, man, I'm just out living my best life, you know? Man, I'm just doing whatever makes me happy. Man, you only live once, right? I just want to be happy. I want to feel alive. I want to feel good. And the Bible talks about that kind of lifestyle. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. That's a path to destruction. So I want you to hear this today. If either of those describes you, I have really, really good news. God can turn dangerous and destructive paths into places of deliverance. And here's the deal. I'm going to do something. So some of you, I'm going to apologize right now because I'm going to use you as an illustration. You guys are pumped about that. Thanks for coming to church. Sometimes it's hard for us to personify the stories of the Bible because we're so far removed from them. You guys follow me? So we're like, well, yeah, that's true for Saul. But I don't know if that's true for us regular people. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to be the first. I stand before you as someone that himself was on a path to destruction. And the Lord intervened and delivered me. That's my story. So here's what I'm going to ask for, my brave souls. I love you. If that's not everybody's story, but we have several people. That's your story. If that's you, would you just stand up so that other people that are in that place would see? All right? Just real quick. It's okay. Come on, people. I'm going to call you out by name if I have to, Brandon Curleen. I mean, if you keep waiting and asking your wife if it's okay. No, I'm joking, right? So y'all look around for a moment. And we're not highlighting. We're not praising the choices we've made. Amen? But we are declaring that our God is gracious. And he does save. Okay, thank you guys. Y'all can be seated. So if you are here and you know you're on one of those paths, what I'm going to say to you this morning is I'm going to go back to that first point. God's grace is enough for you. And you can change. And you're not junk. And God has a plan for you, even if you cannot see it, even if you cannot believe it. God will intervene, and I believe you are here today to see him clearly, to hear his voice and his call saying, come to me, I'll heal you, I'll heal you. It's a testimony of so many people in this place. It could be your testimony too, okay? So what do we do with all that? Just a couple application points. I'm going to let you go. First and foremost, I want to challenge you to receive God's grace today. Today. Not one day, not tomorrow, not maybe, right? Because here's the deal. We hear a story like this and we think, well, yeah, okay, maybe there's hope for me. There could maybe be hope for me, but I need to clean some things up first. You know, maybe if I can stop the drinking first, maybe if I'll end that relationship first, if I'll do X or Y or Z first, then maybe God's grace could be for me. No, sir. God's grace is for you right here in the midst of where you stand in all the ugliness and the dirtiness. Listen, God didn't call us up. God came down. That's the story of the scripture. A God who got in our mess to deliver us, who came and walked in the dirt and the mud and the mire with us and said, I'm for you. Who lived the life that we couldn't, who loved us in where we were, who called us to himself despite all that we've done, and who says, I'll make it right. Just believe in me. This is the gospel. This is grace. And so, man, if you're here today and you're trying to earn it, brother, sister, that doesn't work. It is miserable. You will exhaust yourself. You'll feel like the worst person on the face of the planet. Like it never works. But he already worked. He said, it's finished. It's done. All we have to do is believe. We just have to receive. That's it. So I pray you would receive that grace today. I talked about it with the kids at VBS. You know, we talked about Christmas morning. You know, hey, when there's a present under the tree and it has your name on it, is it your present? They're like, yes, it is. I was like, not if you hadn't opened it. I could rip that tag off in a second. Get me a PlayStation, baby. Let's go. You got to receive it, right? You've got to receive that grace of God. Okay, last thing. Last thing we close out. I want to challenge you to remain faithful and to trust God's timing, okay? God's timing is perfect. And I bring up that point, and we talk about the fact that God showed up just at the right time, that Saul was on the doorstep, that he's about to destroy the synagogues and pull out all these Christians, just like he's done in other places. But God redeems him, he saves him, and he also saves all the believers in that community at just the right time. Now, did God show up early? He didn't. Was God late? He was not. And I don't know what that burden is. I know we're going to have prayer partners in a little while. Some of you have been praying about stuff for a while. And you're struggling, wondering if God is hearing you because you feel like God hasn't answered yet. And sometimes here's the best prayer. It's the prayer where we say, Lord, I know that in your time that you will. And we leave it at that, right? God, I know that your timing is perfect. I don't know when this happens, but I'm going to trust you today that it will happen, right? And maybe you need to pray with somebody today to do that, but I want to challenge that, okay? Hey, I love you. We're gonna do this. We're going to dim lights, not to freak anybody out, but today specifically with this text, I believe there's a call to receive the grace of God. I also believe that some may just simply need to pray. And so if you're one of my prayer partners and you want to make your way to the place that you're supposed to be, that's great. We greatly appreciate it. Adults, when it is time as we begin to commission and head out, I want to remind you that adults, we pray with adults, and students, we pray with students. And so that just helps us keep things clear and safe up here. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Where you are, if you just bow your heads for a moment. Close your eyes, and I just want to ask. I know it's July 5th. We got some people that are still in bed. That's okay. The Lord brought people here that needed to be here this morning. If you're here this morning, and you know that you've been on that path, that wrong path, that destructive path, and today you heard that God's grace is enough, and if today you would like to have that supernatural encounter with Jesus where you are saved, where you become his child, nobody's looking around, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Man, I want Jesus to come into my life. I want him to change me. I'm ready. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to surrender. Yeah, awesome. I'm ready to surrender. Anybody else this morning? Yeah. Yeah, I see that hand. Okay, if you put your hand up, could you just look at me for a second? Just eye contact. I see you. I just want you to know I see you, okay? I see you. All right? So we're just going to pray together simply. And yeah, I see you guys. I see you. That's awesome. So here's how we give our lives to Jesus. Here's how we receive God's grace, right? The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, okay? And so faith is the vehicle by which we fall into that saving grace of God. And so in faith, we're going to ask Jesus to come and take control of our life. We're going to confess our need for him, that we've sinned, we're kind of broken, and we're going to ask him to take control. So you guys that raise your hand, let's just pray together. Just pray with me. Say, dear God. Oh, everybody else can pray with them. Don't make them feel alone. Like, you guys know how this works. Come on, just do it. All right, let's try it again. Dear God, I come to you right now and just ask, God, that you would forgive me all the things I've done. I have not been on the right path, and I haven't been able to change it, no matter how hard I try. Jesus, today I heard that you love me and that you want me to be yours and that your grace will cover all of my sin. Please come into my life. Take control. Cover me with your grace and I will live for you from now on. Amen.